This week on Zen and Not Zen, Pro Time Edition.
There's a phrase I learned recently while I'm unpacking this whole people pleaser thing. So confidential contracts,
yeah.
Basically. So if I'm a nice guy, I'm going to do nice things for nice people. I'm not going to be a burden on people. And so in turn, people aren't going to be a burden on me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have nice things done to me as well. And then the quote that I found that came from that confidential contracts idea is unexpressed expectations are premeditated resentments.
Yeah.
So it's like, with that in mind, like how much of your life have you gone through expecting somebody to show up in a way just because you've made this idea in your head of the way they should show up. And then when they don't, you get pissed about it.
Yeah.
And you inadvertently hold them accountable for this shit. And it's like, fuck, man, I've got millions of confidential contracts out there.
Yeah.
That nobody knows about that I can't even keep track of.
Yeah.
But I still tally.
Right.
Still fucking tallying them, motherfuckers.
Oh my god, that is so fucking real, dude.
You were updating the spreadsheets on Excel when I came in for the podcast.
I keep a tally.
That
bitch.
Fucking Robin file is huge.
Okay, wait.
Bro time. Those guys were funny. Yeah, we got them way too high, and I don't remember this. They were talking to Landon, or one of them was like, I don't know if I like this. Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. Like, so I've gotten high with other people in different countries or outside of my own comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it does seem like a different experience. It's like, it's almost like I get higher.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's because I'm outside of my ritual. I'm outside of like the comfort zone, the people that I usually smoke with. But there's times where I'm just like, I shouldn't be this stupid right now.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, feel like I'm stumbling like I'm a 16-year-old child again.
Could it be the quality of the weed you're smoking?
So
it could be the quality,
so
yes.
I've thought about that too, because I was, you know, I love Amsterdam, and I just was there 4 or 5 years ago or whatever. Right. Which, fuck, that was a long time ago now.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, I was just as big a head then as I am now, and I felt like we got higher over there. And I think part of it is, not in the routine, but I also think we're just kind of used to all the plant, you know, maybe, yeah. Again, I understand this is coming from different grows and all this stuff, but it's just like, we're kind of just used to strains over here. And I understand that the UPS guy is a very effective person to get shit across the world. But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I do feel like we're just kind of used to certain crops here.
Mm. Yeah. That's an interesting point too. You know, I don't think we heard the episode, but, you know, when I sat with ayahuasca recently,
yeah.
Mm.
By no means, like, so expectations or resentments waiting to happen, right? And so I realized I had a lot of expectations going into that ceremony. But, you know, just thinking about it afterwards, you know, even though this medicine is still created in South America, it's shipped through the DEA up here. I wonder what type of, like, if there was a, we'll allow you to do this, but the potency level can't exceed this.
Right.
Right. Whereas right. if you go to Peru or if you sit with an yeah. ayahuascarian down in the rainforest, yeah. they make whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And I've heard of, should I emphasize the word heard, of ayahuasca being like tarry, mm. you know, like thick, like molasses. And yeah. the one that I drank was like, it was like the color of a latte.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I wonder if stuff
well,
like
our
that, too.
Food is so fucked. No. Yeah. Why would we not think our weed is fucked? Like, oh, anything yeah. that grows in this country yeah. is fucked. Yeah. And I don't care if you think it is pure organic. Like, the seeds, the water, the ground, everything is fucking tainted. Whoa. So, it, like, going to other countries, my stomach is fucked up when I come back. Right. It's when I start eating food here.
You know
again.
How your boy gets down with junk food and just oh, yeah. shit. Yeah. You know, I have to, like, re-strategize when I go to Europe because it's healthier junk food there.
Yeah, yeah.
Most
much
definitely.
More modest fucking sizes.
Yep, yep.
So you have to buy more. But, like, it's still, it's just like they don't use artificial coloring and shit. So,
yeah.
like, their sodas are the colors that they should be.
Right,
like,
yeah.
their orange
and
soda
their sugars
has
are
orange juice
actual
in
sugar.
It.
Which look
you know?
Odd to us.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, that doesn't look
tastes
right.
Tastes weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange.
It's better
you
shit.
Know, we did that episode about a year ago about banned foods, you
yep.
know. And since then, like, I'm a conscious human being, but I choose what I want to be conscious about because I think if you just
it's too much,
you can
yeah.
you can
it's
really just lose your entire.
I try to talk to Tiffany
and
about
it's a,
that.
It's
Tiffany
a
is
futile.
Very, especially about like just you know the environment and just like she doesn't like to buy shit that comes in plastic, which is almost impossible.
Right.
Tell her the entire state of Texas.
Oh yeah, oh,
does
no, she,
not
she,
recycle.
She's well aware,
so it's, it is futile.
Well, we can get into whether or not recycling actually recycles.
Right, but there's you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like you were saying, like, it is so big, and you can do one thing. Like, I was buying vegan, like earth, what's it called? Earth Balance buttery spread. That's like vegan buttery spread. And I thought I was like, okay, well, I'm, you know, not contributing to this, blah, blah, blah. And then my vegan friend comes over. She's like, oh, you can't buy that. It's full of palm oil. Like, that's like what's ruining the rainforest. Right. I was like, you can't fucking win.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I wasn't aware of that. Yeah. I was buying peanut butter like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm like, which one should I get? She's like, get this one. And I bought it. And I'm like, hey, look, I did a good job. And she's like, you bought the shit with palm oil. I'm like, fuck, man.
But if you don't, you have to stir awkwardly your fucking peanut butter and get peanut juice all over you every time you go into it. Like, I'm not saying, like, first world problem.
And that
like,
is a horrible thing. So that's and I would the jam, rather right? sacrifice is that, an orangutan.
That's the differentiator.
It holds it together. Palm oil holds it together so you don't stir it. Natural ones have that separation. Yeah, so you gotta
that,
get in that
atoms.
Stir it, right?
That atoms.
But, you know, like, I feel like if you are passionate about something and you want to follow it yourself, then that's great. Right? Yeah. Follow that. But if we get too broad spectrum, and then it's like you should just go live in a cave in the Himalayas, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the thing, right? We're part of society. And I think that's where people get kind of lost in this whole kind of idea of enlightenment, woke, you know, whatever that idea is that you mm-hmm. have, that you've defined as part of
woke.
Your journey, right? You're still a part of this fucking society, right? And so the farther you remove yourself, the farther you're removing yourself from the journey of your soul, in theory, right? Yeah. So it's finding a way to accept what you can accept, not accept and change what you can change, but also just feeling like you find a space for yourself to belong. It's like the serenity prayer, you know, accept the things I cannot change, currently change the things I can, wisdom know the difference, right? It's that same idea. So... But it's for you. That's the thing. That's where people get fucked up. Just because this worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
So you have might have found your variety of happiness that works for you. And then you try to shove it down other people's throat.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get sideways, right? Let that person find their own happiness.
Yeah.
They can look to you as an example, if they wish, to say, oh, Kinsey's found some happiness like that. I kind of share a similar kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Maybe that might work for me. And then I start that path and I find it diverting into my own unique path.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's why you're an individual.
Yeah. It's the change that inspires you to maybe look at it something a different way, but it doesn't have to be the exact way someone else is looking at
it. Comes up every now and then at my job and also just with my circle of friends because I quit drinking and most of my friends have not. And some to varying degrees may or may not have some issues with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's like, well, Robin, you quit drinking, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, cool. But I also lean pretty heavily on ganj. I leaned on it before I quit drinking, but I definitely lean on it now. And that's just what I do. And that's kind of what I, you know. But it's just like, that works for fucking me.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to be very clear about all this shit. Yeah, you could just try to, like, quit drinking and just go become a pothead. And it's like, yeah, that might work for, like, a week.
Right.
It's funny you say that because my friend at work, she has really bad migraines. And, one of the other girls that works there were like, oh, let's go get you some weed. She goes, one time I smoked weed before I went to bed and it was the first day I didn't wake up with a migraine and maybe I should stop drinking less and start smoking weed more. And I was like, okay, great. So we took her to the weed store. Yeah. We got her some weed. And then I asked her yesterday, I was like, how's it going? She goes, I can't smoke weed. She goes, I just turn into an anxious spiral, neurotic mess.
There's that too. Yeah.
And she goes, and I want it to work so bad because so many other people have found so many benefits and it really helps with their anxiety and it just makes mine worse. And I just feel like that's just not, so it's like, this is a perfect example
I didn't
of
even
something
go
working.
There with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't
something
even
working
about,
for something and it's not working for you. So it doesn't mean it has to.
Right. Well, weed these days is so fucking strong. If you don't have some tolerance going into it, like, you're going balls to the
she got
wall.
Cart.
Like,
she didn't get
like,
joints. Like she's buying carts, and I was like, "Girl,
it's so funny." It's
almost like CBD weed is, or CBD flower is now like what old weed used to be the potency of.
So
you know,
maybe like. I was the one who talked her out of CBD because like you don't want CBD; it doesn't do anything. Like go for the high end, go for the high end indica. It's really gonna knock you on your ass.
My friends Adam and Robin use these, and this will be great for you, first timer.
That poor bitch probably needed some CBD, and I was like, no.
Well, it's interesting because I mean, I see that shit at the stores now, and it's like literally branded as like low THC. Like this will barely get you high or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm just like, well, cool. We should just fucking put that behind a curtain because that's not why the fuck I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I think I might have shared this before, but, you know, the few times I've been back to Texas now and been able to smoke that weed again, which is considerably not as good.
Still,
as,
is it medical down in Texas?
No, they are very
far away
they're
from so
everything.
Backwards
it's
on
still,
that shit.
It's still stems and seeds. So
dude,
it's still,
Florida.
I mean, you can find better weed down there, but it's still shit. But
it's
I got
everywhere in Florida.
I got a
everywhere.
Sack from a buddy and...
medical
it was like that old weed, and it actually, it felt really kind of good to be just kind of high.
Yeah.
Oh, and come
not
on.
Like, and not that like, because I'm high right now. Like,
that
I'm
just
guitar I'm a functional solo.
Yeah.
So, right? But yeah, it was just interesting to be like, just kind of high. And I'm like, oh, I remember this.
Oh, like, just
do,
well,
it's like right. People doing spliffs and shit. I mean, do you, I mean, people mixing tobacco with weed.
I've never, I have friends from Europe that do that.
I never,
I
yeah.
I only knew one person from Red Hook that did that, who introduced me to a spliff. Yeah. And then
Yeah, I'd rather not. But
yeah,
I'll
no.
tolerate if
that. Yeah, no, it was definitely happened to me a couple times a year. I'm like, hey, asshole said you're smoking weed.
Yeah. okay, so Kizzy just got back from the Sedona.
Yes.
And there was like a big ass full moon.
Yeah,
so that's
big
Arizona.
Vortex Central.
Vortex
man.
Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some crazy shit that happened there. I had a interaction with someone who I had not seen in Well, I lied. I said since 2020, but I actually ran into her a year ago, almost to the day that I saw her in Sedona. But I was in a really bad headspace. I was taking care of my grandma who's passing away, and she was at the restaurant. I was picking up to-go food, and I was just like, okay, bye. You know, just didn't want to say anything. So this woman was my eighth grade teacher. I had kept in touch with her, you know, since eighth grade. She kind of was one of my surrogate moms that I had kind of collected over the years. And she was a really important person to me for a very long time.
Yeah.
2020 rolls around, find out she's voting for Trump, and my world is fucking shattered.
Yeah,
and tough. I feel like I'm fighting for my fucking life, and everyone around me is just doesn't give a shit. So I say very unkind things to her and write her off completely, you know, just fucking nuke a bridge, done.
Yep.
And then, so we're in Sedona. I'm there with my in-laws, my dad's coming up, my aunt's coming up, and we're kind of using this as like a healing, like, hey, we're going to kind of get together, kind of honor my grandma, because we all hadn't seen each other since she passed. And Sedona was one of her favorite places. So it was already kind of a healing journey, or healing trip that we're there. So I'm supposed to meet up. Well, I had my dad had just left. My aunt was supposed to come back up from Phoenix on Thursday. She had something, one of my cousins crashed his car. Mm. And so it kind of fucked up the plans for the day. So she's like, I'm not coming up. And I go, okay, great. Well, Manny's like, what do you want to do? I was like, let's go to the pool house. And we go down the pool house, last minute kind of a decision, and we were there for maybe 5-10 minutes. It's just this indoor, it was like an indoor-outdoor pool. Like, we stayed at this place that was kind of like, it was a hotel/timeshare place. So it had villas, like people could rent for timeshares.
Entertainment shit.
Yeah,
so
and like a game room and
a
library. And
yeah.
Yeah, very, yeah, kind of cool. Like that. So we're in the pool house. There is nobody there. We are the only ones fucking there. And all of a sudden, I hear people coming in the pool house. And I hear a voice, and I go, there's no fucking way. I know her voice instantly.
Yeah.
And I look, and I see her profile, and I immediately turn back around, and I put my, like, hands over my mouth, because I was just like, this is spooking me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also, like, I'm very aware of how I left things, so I don't know if she's super pissed.
Right.
I don't know how awkward this is going to be. Every interaction I've ever had in my family, when I fucked up, it is, I'm going to hold this over your head for the rest of your life kind of thing.
Yeah.
Am I in a headspace that I want to address that right now? I'm still kind of overwhelmed. So they're in the pool house for maybe 90 seconds. She starts walking out, and something inside of me goes, say something. And so I scream her last name.
She hasn't seen you.
She hasn't seen me.
Yeah,
I've been turning my body
the
entire
time. You're doing
the
fucking
her husband
hiding
even,
behind the corn pops.
Her husband and her husband addressed us and was like, hey, is the jacuzzi hot enough? And I kind of turn my back and I go, yeah, yeah. Like, and, you know, and I'm just doing my best to just hide my face. And so she's almost out the door and I scream her name. And then she looks at me and I say her name again and I can see it register all of a sudden and her face just lights up and she goes, oh my God. And she runs over to me and I'm soaking wet and I was like, I'm soaking wet. She goes, I don't give a fuck. I'm grabbing a towel. So she wraps herself in a towel. I get a towel. We hug and I'm still kind of awkward about it because – and the other person that was there was another teacher from that same school that my sister had. So – and, you know, her husband's looking at me sideways, which is – I know, like, conversations have been had about me and about what I
That's
had said.
That's there's right. context.
Yeah. So – you know, I don't want to make it too fake or awkward. You know, I'm a little spooked, to be honest. And she's just being really kind. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm staying in this room. And she goes, oh, my God, we're staying 10 doors down from you. And I was like, we're in this room. And I go, oh, my God. And so she leaves, and the rest of the day, I'm fucking not able to think about anything else. Yeah. Like, I was like, this is so, like, I've run into her before in Oro Valley, which is not weird because I can't go home without running into somebody. So whatever. But to be at Sedona in the same weekend, the same fucking hotel, and the same 90 seconds, like, she was not coming to hang out at the pool. She just happened to say, like, oh, yeah, our friends haven't been here before. We were just going to walk through here to get to our hotel room.
There's no accident.
It was too big. It was just too big. And for it to be a full moon in the vortex with my grandmother and everything, and I was just like, I need to address this. So it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm laying awake, and I was like, I can't leave this. We're leaving the next day. And so I wrote her a note and was just like, I can't get over this. And I think this was the universe giving me a sign to tell you thank you for everything that you did for me for so many years and how much you meant to me. And I hope you have a great trip. And I just kind of left it open. I didn't want to, you know, say like, hey, here's my number, call me, let's reconnect. Cause like, I wasn't sure how I felt about it. So I just kind of wanted to leave it open-ended. If she wanted to, you know, address me, that's fine. But if she didn't, she could walk away and not have to talk to me ever again. So I leave the note in the, what I couldn't quite remember her hotel room number, so I just kind of was a shot in the dark, and it turned out to be the right one.
Okay.
And then I'm checking.
The whole under the door thing?
Yeah, I stuck it in the door, and then I go back, and I'm, you know, pacing the room, and Mandy's like, she'll get it. Like, if this has happened, like, even if it's the wrong room number, if I got a note like this, I would go up to the front desk and be like, hey, someone in this hotel has this name. You need to get it to them.
Right.
So anyway,
Adam and I would roll joints.
Oh, that sucks. Hey, somebody rolled a rolling tray underneath the
door. Score. And so, I'm up till like 5 o'clock in the morning because I just can't sleep. Because I'm also like, if she does get back to me, okay, I'm going to have this to say. I'm going to have this to justify this action. I'm going to have this to explain my behavior because I'm already going through everything because that's how I grew up. Like, if you fuck up, you need to tell me, break everything down on why you did it, and you need to fucking grovel.
Right.
So I'm preparing mentally for that.
Yep.
I get a message. So I don't have her number. I have blocked her on all social media. So I unblock her just in case she wants to get in touch with me. And so I've heard nothing from her, and it's like midnight. And I message her on Instagram just to reach out to be like, hey, I left a note at this door. I wasn't sure if it was yours. hope it finds its way to you. And she goes, I got your note, and it really made my day and it made my night. And she goes, I'd really like to see you tomorrow before you leave. And I was like, great. So she's at one end of the row. I'm at the end. So we're bookending this row of villas that we're staying in.
Yeah.
And in the middle, there is a tiny little table and a grass mat. So we literally are on opposite ends of the spectrum, and we meet in the middle. And she comes down out of her condo. We're wearing the same fucking outfit. We're both in jeans and a white sweatshirt. And she just is just full of love. Like, there was not an awkward moment. It was like no time had passed. It was like nothing had happened. And I am prepared to grovel and to justify and whatever. And she's just kind of starts off. She's like, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Like, how are you doing?
Right.
You look really happy. You look really good. You know, tell me everything about what's going on with you. And then all of a sudden we're sitting in this little hammock, or not hammock, a little swing chair thing. And a hummingbird comes by and she goes, you know, that's my mom. And she goes, my mom passed in 2020. So I was like, so I probably dropped this bomb on her, and then her mom, which I didn't even know, was sick, died. And she was like, yeah, this is a special moment, isn't it? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then I start crying, and I was like, I just wanted to thank you for everything. Yeah. She goes, I always knew. You didn't have to tell me. You know, I always knew. And it was just a beautiful meetup, and it felt like she was kind of speaking from the universe through her mouth of like, hey man, it's all right.
Yep.
It's okay. Like, this self-forgiveness moment, this total, you know, preparing to have my dukes up, preparing to defend myself, and just the universe being like, hey man, you don't even need to do that.
Yep.
You're good. And it was about our relationship, but it was so much about all the relationships in my life of that, like, you need to just put your dukes down, like, and just let everybody be, let yourself be. And the thing that shocked me most, I think, was that she showed me this unconditional love and grace that I was unable to extend to her. And that is so true for a lot of relationships I have in my life. So it was just a nice reminder to be like, this thing that I had done in 2020 affected a lot of relationships I have. And so, and it has, you know, it just kind of been this gray cloud that I feel like I can't escape. And I just had this one moment of just explosion of emotions in, you know, all directions. And I've been feeling it, repercussions of it for 4 years.
Right.
And thinking that it's this big deal in my brain. And then there's just this one person that reminds me that it's like, hey, man, the people that know get that we knew it wasn't about what it was about.
Right.
Like, you know, she had been with me through all of my family trauma stuff. And she's like, I know you went through a lot. She goes, I know that. You don't, it's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And I was just at the airport just being like, oh, but I didn't deserve this kindness. And just... So it was just a purely like, and it happened on the Virgo full moon. So it was just all these things, like this vortex of infinite possibilities coming together for this one moment that just kind of broke open so much shit for me.
That's beautiful.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's those little Easter eggs that are out there for you to find.
Totally.
You know, and it's, you know, when you have moments like that where you feel that gentle like nudge.
Yeah.
That little push. Like, just say her name.
Yeah.
See what happens.
It was, and it was something inside me was just do it.
Yeah.
Do it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's easy.
You would have fucking regret because you probably wouldn't have fucking seen her for the rest of that trip.
And I didn't. I didn't run into her. You would
have tried to, like, walk around with a fucking drink and just be like, hopefully I'll run into her. And then what the fuck are you doing? You're trying to holler at
this
a chick?
This is
what
the moment.
Was this 1987?
Yeah. And the funny thing was, Machio? Is the universe gave me a moment the year prior and I didn't take up on it like I should have because I wasn't in the right headspace.
Right.
But the universe knew that, like, because I was in such a good place when I was in Savannah.
Power the podcast.
It was just like, I felt good. I felt open. I felt relaxed. I was like, this is the redo moment that I should have had back then. And we were in a restaurant. Like, I was waiting, you know, my people were in the car waiting for me. I was picking up food. It just wasn't the right moment. So the universe was like, cool, that didn't work. I'm gonna give you another opportunity. And I have... I have had other people in my life that I've had to feel like I've had to, like, make an apology to or justify things. And the universe gives me these opportunities, like with my dad or with this woman that I met, like, that it wasn't forced.
Right.
It was just like, hey, I'm going to give you this opportunity, but you have to go the next step, say her name or write a note or you know, address it with my dad or whatever. And the ones that I have felt forced to on someone else's timeline to apologize, justify, whatever, those have not ended well.
Right.
So this was a good reminder to be like, hey, the relationships that are going to come back to you, the universe will give you that opportunity, but it's you have to take the action when that opportunity meets the moment.
Right.
So you fucking can bring the fucking horse to the river or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I had a buddy tell me one time, might have been Jeff, but basically said, with the right person, you have infinite second chances.
1,000%.
You know, and that's, it's...
Is that a good thing?
I think it is, because if you need somebody to help hold space for you while you grow...
Okay, yeah, that's...
If your actions keep pushing people away, but you know that... you're finding growth or there's some reason, like it's hard, like, you know, being the friend that is always helping the person out that keeps self-destructing.
Yeah.
It's hard to be, you know, but there's also, you know, don't put yourself on that cross, you know, being that friend all the time. But if you have the space to hold and you can do that, you know, there's a reason why that person keeps coming back to you. And there's a reason why, and eventually that will click, you
well,
know?
And it's not that, like, she wasn't asking anything of me and I wasn't asking anything of her.
Right.
It was a moment of like, we have acknowledged this connection, you know, I'm here for you, but like with what you're saying, like being that friend that is always coming to aid, there's a difference between having boundaries and being open, loving, kind, being, you know, there for someone. And then there's a difference between that and exuding emotional, physical labor for this person that keeps doing the same kind of thing.
Right.
There's a difference between being noticing when someone has had a bad moment and that's all it was.
Yeah.
Or
what comes to mind is you went through, you know, with using you as an example is for people, I mean, shit, I've known you now for 10 years, but it's like, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't hanging out with you hardcore in 2020, but you know, it was on social media at the time and whatnot, and I was aware of some of this stuff. But it's just like, the sample size is so much greater than that. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of the people that even, you know, you may have scorched earth, for better or for worse, a lot of people are like, cool, well, that's not necessarily always, you know, I do hate the argument like, oh, I'm sorry about my friend, he's drunk. I'm like, no, your friend's a fucking asshole. Now he's a drunk asshole.
Right.
Same person, just drunk asshole. But, like, you know, you're not that kind of, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I think that's a part of it, too.
Yeah, it was truly a bad moment. And when you were texting us about topics for today, and you had said something about the downside of being too kind.
That's what I was just going to say.
This was my downside of being too kind.
Yeah.
Because and there's a difference between, like, being kind in a genuine, I'm good with myself kind of a thing. And I just exude kindness because I feel kindness towards myself. My kindness came from a people pleasing. Mm-hmm. If I can make it right with everybody or make everyone else happy, then I can make myself happy. I was doing it in the opposite way. And what that does is create a fucking nuke within me that is ticking constantly. And it just boomed at this moment.
Yep.
And it was 30 years of buildup of rage and anger that I did not know how to express in a healthy way. So it just fucking exploded. And like Mandy, her and I have had a conversation about it. She's like, yeah, dude, like I didn't know who you were during that time, but I know you needed for this thing to happen.
Just needed to fucking...
And I am...
Also, it's out now, though.
It's out now. Yeah. You know, and I have become such a different person from that moment that would not have happened if that did not happen.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a nice moment to have with this woman that it was just like, it was my chance to release that shame, that past anger, this past person I was, and to just have her look at me and be like, hey, it's okay. Let's start here. You are this person.
Well, it's also, kind of validating kind of how far you've come.
Right.
Like all the kind of the you know, because, it's, when we were talking, I don't know if we've released the one about where we talk about kind of, you know, regrets and all that. But, you know, and I'm just like, hey, man, nobody, I remember bringing this up to you. I mean, nobody's fucking batting 1,000. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've done everything right in my life. And of course I would go back and maybe, you know, but it's like, and you kind of push back. In a way where it's like, no, those experiences made who I am.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, I think there's, you know, a lot of humility in that, you know, and I think that's an important lesson.
Yeah.
I was watching a video too of a guy, it was on TikTok, but he was talking about how, he used to care a lot what people think. And that was me. And he was like, I cared about what they thought about me. And it was because I was angry at myself, so I made a version of them that was also angry at me, but it was my brain's version of making somebody else mean as an excuse to be mean to myself.
Right.
So now I know when my friend is mad or acting weird or, you know, doing something not right, I can see that they are angry with themselves and they're using me as an excuse to be unkind to themselves.
Right.
And I feel like that's not where I was 4 years ago, but that's where I am now. So like these things that were so fucking important, so black and white to me, so right and wrong. So like I don't have that same energy towards these topics that I used to, or these people, or like looking at situations where it's something like just, oh, they make me so mad.
Yeah.
I can now look at this person and be like, I don't really care that much.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they're just on their own journey. I'm on my own. I don't have the energy for that anymore.
We don't agree on everything.
Right. Exactly. Like, but it like doesn't irk me, you know? So if I'm capable of that, I'm giving other people the grace of being capable of that as well.
Right.
And they can either mend a bridge with me or not, but we're both just going to be, I wish nothing the best for everybody. So there are people that the universe is going to bring back to me that we might have a relationship great. There's going to be people that it's over. And maybe that was the way for my, you know, universe to be like, hey, this relationship wasn't really working out for you anyway. It probably could have ended better, but we got rid of that anyway.
Yep.
So it all is good in the end.
Yeah. It's, I think of like, you know, when you have a negative experience at fucking, you know, cause I'm still in restaurants and hospitality and these people are fucking pricks for whatever the fuck.
Right.
And I'm just like, well, okay. I'm like, and usually I have to say this to someone who hasn't done it as long, but I'm just like, that person was pissed off when they walk in.
Yes.
You could have pulled their fucking child from a burning car and they would still be upset because they got fucking charcoal on their shoes. Like,
they're going to
fucking go home to their shitty fucking miserable life and you're going to be fine. Don't let any of that fucking dictate the rest of your day because then those assholes have won.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's easier said than done because you and I've worked together and I'll do a bit and I'll fucking go off on the expo line for like 4 minutes to be funny, and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
But that's the expulsion of the energy, though. Yeah. I mean, we need that. It's like the tiger that chases the antelope, and the antelope gets away, and then when the antelope feels safe, you'll see it shake. Because it has that pent-up energy. It just needs to get it out.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's actually a really good practice to be able to get some of that energy out, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like if you're being like totally vehement about it.
You know?
No, but it's
well,
just
I
like
mean,
expending
I
energy.
Mean, you guys yeah. know exactly.
Get, yeah.
exactly
yeah, yeah,
what
yeah,
you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
it's the
yeah.
walk and venting of like fuck that
yeah.
guy.
Oh,
fuck
oh, just,
fuck
just,
18.
Just,
all right, all right. Can I get you anything else?
Yeah, yeah, no. But it's just literally like no. I'm doing a bit. I'll be fine in about 45 seconds. I got a couple more.
I
got a couple more things of material that I worked up between the hot water.
I got my
type
5
stand up
right now.
Let me have this.
Well, and I also have to remind myself, the people that are shitty to customer service people, we are the lowest rungs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what that says to me is that you are the lowest rung in your life. So this is your opportunity to have something over somebody. So yeah. someone is making you feel the way you're trying to make me feel right now at home or at work or whatever. So I'm just going to let that be what it is. Cause I know this moment is not about me. I've given you every fucking thing you've asked for. I have accommodated every request you have. I have done it with a smile. I have not given you attitude. So this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any less fucking annoying.
Still sucks, but
still sucks,
yeah.
but it has
actually,
nothing to do with you.
Back to the regrets thing. I do actually regret not like refusing service about 3 times. Cause I could have.
Yeah.
And, like, been justified in doing so.
Yeah.
And just because of force of habit and, like, kind of the nature of just say yes, people pleasing and all that. And I'm like...
But isn't it the easy route sometimes to
it
just
is,
get
it
them
is,
out?
It is, but it's, like, literally, like, you know, I mean... But that's an example of, like, no, I should have just been, like,
we're
fuck
done.
You and fuck you. And I could have said fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Totally,
like,
yeah.
And I've been, like... Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Fucking block letters.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
All
I have
caps.
I have a recent example of, so I'm attempting to stop being a people pleaser. Right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a
hard
habit to break,
journey, right?
baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a lot of things to work on, but, but okay. So I've been teaching yoga for almost 10 years now and I love what I do. I've got a specific style that I teach, right? I like loud music. I like hot, sweaty classes, like big movements, if that's the style that it's called for.
You know where you are.
Yeah.
I'll play the Roots. I'll play Rage Against the Machine. Like all kinds of shit. I love crafting cool, fun classes. And I get it. My voice is monotone. Sometimes my voice gets lost in the music because I get really excited and turn the music up too loud. But... people, I found my following. Like I found the group that likes what my brand is, right?
Right.
And so sometimes I'll get some talk afterwards. I'm like, hey, you know, couldn't hear you too well. You know, music was a little loud. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, and I placate to them.
Right.
So I had a young lady this last Sunday, same deal, comes out. And she's like, hey, loved your class, but the music was a little too loud. I couldn't hear you. And I'm like... yeah, that's the style of yoga that I do. I like it loud and like it sweaty, you know. It's fun
unapologetic,
though, you know.
Unapologetic for your,
And I was trying my hardest to not apologize and not, but not be a dick and not like be like, that's what I do, you know. And I was like, well, but you know.
Fuck
the,
you, I won't do
teacher,
what you tell me.
The owner of the studio allows us to teach as we wish. So there's a bunch of different teachers that approach it in a different way.
Yeah.
You're welcome to try them out. She's like, well, I went to a teacher's class the other day and it was like soft music. And I'm like, cool. That's that person's style.
Yeah.
Now you know my style.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could kind of tell at the same time that maybe she was having this opportunity for her to actually speak her mind in a way that maybe she hasn't before.
Right.
And we were both like having this moment of like, I need to say what I need to say, and I'm going to try to do it as nice as I can and unapologetically.
Right.
But I don't have an expectation. I just want to say it.
Yeah.
And so, like, we met at that moment, and it was almost like, I didn't apologize. You didn't...
get what you wanted.
Get what you wanted, but you were able to speak your mind.
Yeah.
And we... both are smiling.
Right.
And then it was just like, okay, well, cool. Have a good day.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Well, it's that there's no black and white. Neither of you are wrong.
Right.
Well, so
it's neither
not the customer's
always
right kind of idea,
right.
which we were raised in. That's bullshit. Right?
But what you said with like her having, like maybe she had been sitting this whole class of having all these, you know, unsatisfying moments and never saying anything because she is also having a people-pleasing moment where she's just like, great class and I'm not going to say anything. I wasn't happy and whatever. So, like, what a beautiful gray area moment for you both.
It's great. Yeah.
That's
very
rad.
Cool. There's a phrase I learned recently while I'm unpacking this whole people pleaser thing. It's unexpressed expectations. Mm. So confidential contracts,
yeah,
basically. So if I'm a nice guy, I'm going to do nice things for nice people. I'm not going to be a burden on people. And so in turn, people aren't going to be a burden on me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have nice things done to me as well. And when people don't see that being played out, then what you were talking about earlier, that vehement fucking nasty person inside starts to come out, mm-hmm. whether it's around people in public and in violent outbursts or like myself. What I found myself doing is taking it out on the people that I love the most.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I can't get what I want from the world, from the way that I'm acting, so clearly there's something wrong with me. How can you love me?
Right.
This is bullshit. You're fucking in love with an asshole, so clearly you're an asshole, mm-hmm. right? And so it's this vicious fucking cycle. So, and then the quote that I found that came from that confidential contracts idea is unexpressed expectations are premeditated resentments.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like, how many times have I gone through the world? And COVID was a beautiful example when I think back. I wore a mask because I was doing what I felt was right. And so when I saw somebody not wearing a mask, uh-huh. they broke the contract that I made in my head with humanity
yep.
that nobody else knew of.
I'm fucking doing this. Right. I'm doing this for the good of humanity. You know, and that's fucking dick for being so...
Good example.
Yeah, right? That is absolutely...
And that's just a complete story in your head. Right. That person has their own reason for whatever reason they've got to do whatever they're doing. This
masks
is an example,
do
mask,
suck.
Not mask, yeah. right? But with that in mind, like... How much of your life have you gone through expecting somebody to show up in a way just because you've made this idea in your head of the way they should show up? And then when they don't, you get pissed about it.
Yeah.
And you inadvertently hold them accountable for this shit. And it's like, fuck, man, I've got millions of confidential contracts out there.
Yeah.
That nobody knows about that I can't even keep track of.
Yeah.
But I still tally.
Right.
Still fucking tallying
the
motherfuckers.
Oh my god, that is so fucking real, dude.
Dude, you were updating the spreadsheets on Excel when I came in for the podcast.
I keep a tally.
That fucking Robin file is huge.
Okay, wait. Quick side tangent. Okay, I found it. I heard so an Instagram and TikTok, the bunch of people the internet's been going crazy with like timeline movie overlaps.
Uh huh.
Okay, so I saw one recently. Steve Buscemi. Okay. So yeah, Steve Buscemi from Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Who Billy Madison calls and apologizes.
Yeah,
right.
Danny McGrath.
Yeah. Crosses Danny, right?
Yeah.
Crosses his name off. Yes.
Yeah. Other people on that list.
Fast forward, Con Air, right? Mm-hmm. Danny gets caught because he killed all those people on his list.
Yeah. He
shows up as Steve Buscemi in Con Air. He's similar character,
oh
right? Kind of quiet, kind of creepy,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
He ends up getting away. Everybody thinks he dies, but he got away.
Yeah, did he hang out with the little girl
then he went to Vegas, right? Then he went to Vegas, right? Fast forward, Big Lebowski.
Oh my God.
Donnie. Not Danny. Donnie. He changed his name just slightly. He's very quiet. He doesn't really have a backstory. And this is what the internet really shows.
What was the character name in the second one again? What was the second movie you were talking about?
Con Air. I can't remember his name. He had some funny, like, killer name.
He was a weird fucking crazy guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter mask.
Yep. And so in the Big Lebowski, every time Donnie's bowling, he's wearing somebody else's bowling shirt. It has a different name on it. And so the theory is those are all the people that he killed.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, oh my God, that is a beautiful.
Oh my God.
Thank you for stringing that together for me.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, where does that weird movie Fargo fit into it? It's like, I got shot in the fucking face.
Oh my God! Yeah, thanks for entertaining that tangent.
No, I fucking love that.
God, I need to rewatch. Oh, speaking of Nick Cage, I was at work last night. I'm like, hey man, talking to a regular. I'm like, hey man, did you have a good weekend? He's like, yeah man, we did a Cage-a-thon. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I literally thought like cages,
like
UFC. Steel Cage or some shit. And he's like, no man, watched a bunch of Nick Cage movies. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, thinking. And he's like, which ones did you watch? He's like, oh, well, we start off with Leaving Las Vegas. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh,
you started
man,
with Leaving
Las
Vegas? The
saddest movie of all time.
Fucking Leaving Las Vegas.
Jesus Christ, man.
His Renfield, that movie is so fucking good.
It looked good.
Like that.
It
yeah.
is so, one of the best kill scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I've got I went through a fuck Nick Cage phase where I'm like, I just can't with him.
I
respect
really
the fuck out of him, dude.
I don't really, I've seen him get interviewed more recently and I've actually been really impressed with the way he comes across.
Totally.
Because he's genuine as
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
and he knows he's weird, but he don't care.
Yeah, he's accepted it. He's
he
found
don't
a way
care.
To integrate that
yeah.
shit, right?
And
he's done some really good shit.
And yeah, he has done some good shit, and he's done some shit, and he doesn't care
yeah,
if
I
you think it's good or not.
Yeah, I haven't seen Season of the Witch, you know, I'm not going to fuck.
I saw that.
Oh,
yeah, you fucking asshole.
The fucking Wicker Man? His Wicker Man?
fucking crazy.
Well, so I mean, there's only a couple Nick Cage movies I just recently. Tiffany hadn't seen The Rock, so I'm like, oh yeah,
fucking classic.
Rock Cage is so good. She did rightfully. So she's just like about like halfway through. She's like, there's no fucking way Ed Harris is gonna do this.
Yeah,
like she's just like, there's no fucking way this guy is gonna go fucking tear gas San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like, you know,
not
towards
Ed Harris. Yeah.
Well, no, just like, I
maybe
mean,
Ed O'Neill, but yeah, not, yeah, Ed,
not
Harris.
Ed Harris.
Yeah. Fucking yeah. See, yeah, fuck. Maybe the bad guy off the first Blade, but not
yeah. Not Ed Harris.
Stephen Dorff. God, had
did
to
see Dolph Lundgren had to, made a comeback.
Had to pull that one out.
God.
But I mean, did you guys ever see Lord of War? That guy.
Yes.
That guy that we ended up trading for Brittany Griner.
Yes, yes, yes. That movie.
Lord of
yeah.
War. That was.
It
good.
Was about the weapons traders. The true story.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
Matchstick Man was good.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah, Matchstick Man was good.
The unbearable weight of being famous, or the unbearable weight of something. It's got Pedro Pascal, Nick Cage, and the movie Nick Cage plays Nick Cage.
Okay.
So it's about them going after Nick Cage because he's super famous. I can't even remember the whole plot of the story, but I remember watching this movie, and if there was ever a question that I respected the fuck out of Nick Cage, it was over after I watched that movie, because I was like, the fact that he can make fun of himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he played a hyper, like a caricature version of himself. And it was so well done and so funny and so good. And he was so in on the joke where
yeah.
I was like, you got me forever now.
Did you ever
Nick Cage.
See Valley Girl? I never saw Valley Girl.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's canon.
Raising Arizona.
Oh, well, yeah. That's yeah. I fell asleep. I've fallen asleep to that one numerous times.
But it's like Chuck Norris is in on his joke now, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude,
it's
that like, motherfucker's like 83 or some shit.
You know who's not in on the joke? Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Oh, dude,
well,
he just like
mean?
Lives in Russia. Have you seen that video of like him like throwing opponents in some judo seminar?
God.
Oh, dude, it's great.
It's only stage.
Human.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, the guy weighs like over 300 pounds.
Oh, you got me this time.
It's very reminiscent of those preachers that are like knocking you over with power of God. It's very,
very on par with that.
It's like that Key and Peele sketch, grapple and tackle.
Yeah.
Welcome to the strip mall jiu-jitsu complex. We are here to grapple and tackle. That's a fucking amazing sketch.
I've not seen that
one. My God, it's great. He's got a bunch of like, it's like 90s style, very like choppy editing, and he's got a bunch of women. That's all his students
opponents
are just women. And he's just like, first you grapple, and then you tackle. And he like just takes them all down. It's just classic
stupid.
Key and Peele. It's fantastic. I love it. There's one thing that came up in my journey through this that I've come through with this nice guy shit too. It's that brutal stop to being the nice guy. The cold turkey stop. And then I'm just honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just honest.
It's so, I'm not, I'm almost there, but it is so hard for me.
So,
well,
people,
no, but it's, what I'm
that
saying
last
though
hurdle.
Is, well, what I'm saying though is you get to that point and it becomes a nuisance. And then you start, well, fuck that. Here's my opinion on that. It's just vehement. It's just coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask if you want my opinion. Here it just fucking comes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of being the nice guy. I've got shit to say. Here
right.
it fucking comes.
Right.
You haven't thought about it because now you're angry because you feel like you've been stepped on your entire life, right?
Yeah.
You've got some opinions that might have stewed back there, but you haven't really given full breath. Maybe even have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have an opportunity and here comes that thought.
Right.
Right. And then you just back up your perceived ignorance with some kind of like, you know, just digging the heels in, right?
Yeah, that's the black
this
and white
is,
mentality.
This is the new me.
Yeah.
This is the new me. This is how I am.
If you don't like it, fuck you.
Right,
you can
know?
Get the fuck out of my life.
In my
yeah,
early 20s,
the
when I was maybe a bit rougher around the edges, you guys met me in my early 30s.
Yep.
I used to call that new and improved Robin.
Right. Yeah.
I'd be like, new and improved Robin. I'd just be like, fucking does this. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yep. And that's a dangerous place to be in because you feel validated to be there in a
but
way.
All three of us has experienced that, so don't you think that's the natural progression of healing?
Yeah.
So it's just a period that you have to go through
to
get
it.
To the other side because you see how futile and exhausting that mindset is.
Hopefully.
And it is not sustainable.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, been there, done that, it ain't sustainable.
Well,
right.
And
so
you
the,
let it go.
So this is a big one when I was thinking about this, and this comes up in the hospitality when people ask for favors and shit, but when people ask you to do shit, you do not need to apologize for saying no.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. No is right. a full sentence.
No full is a full sentence.
Is a complete sentence. No is a complete sentence.
I do believe that there's, and again, maybe this goes back to fucking people pleasing a little bit, but like maybe more than just one word.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like.
But not apologizing.
My initial fucking reaction is to go, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry, I cannot.
Unfortunately, we don't have. Yeah.
And it's, instead, you can just be like, I'm unable to do it that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, and you, and then it's almost like you're looked at as being a dick if you don't do the apology first. And it's like,
right.
But,
or rude. I don't want to be considered rude.
See, this, see, this is the idea of in trouble.
That is what I struggle with.
In trouble.
Yes.
Is so fucking difficult. So a couple weeks ago, I was laying down in a yoga class to take a class, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't there to teach. I was there to take. But it's at the home studio I go to across the street. And it's a yin practice. Very quiet, very peaceful, very calm, right? And while I'm laying there, the full class, the teacher's up there guiding. Somebody starts knocking on the side door. The doors are locked in the building. We didn't have front desk on this day. So teacher goes in. That's it, right? Yeah. We lock the doors. Well, like 10 minutes into class, this person starts knocking on the side door into the studio. That's like an emergency exit. And so the teacher looks, I look up at the teacher and teacher looks at me and I'm like, I got this. I'll take care of this, right? You teach your class. So I go over there and I slide the curtain aside and there's this young lady there and she's like looking at me like I'm the asshole. And I'm like, I just point towards the front door and I go out the studio to shut the doors and I go up and I meet her and she comes barreling in past me and she's upset. And, long story short, she thought that she could come in late because she's done it before, but there's been a front desk person. There was not, you know, she thought that I should be there waiting for her. I should be watching cameras. And then I told her, hey, I'm not the teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the class.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Right.
Right.
I'm doing you a favor.
And then I could see her, and she's maybe late teens, early 20s.
Sure.
Right. And I could see her finally starting to come to like, getting her breath, and I'm like,
better namaste the fuck down.
Yeah, you know? I was like, this energy ain't coming to this yoga class.
And so I look at her, I'm like, and she goes, I don't know what to do now. Mm. And I go, okay, we're going to go take class, right? You are not in trouble. And I told her that. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, holy shit, that sentence, in trouble. Like, you've done nothing wrong. You did what you felt was right, mm-hmm. right? You now know that this is the policy. Let's put this aside, go take your class, right? Yeah. Took class, came back afterwards, and I just happened to pass her on the way out. Wasn't seeking her out. And she pulled me aside, and she's like, I had a panic attack out there, and I didn't know what else to do. Yeah. I just needed to get inside this building, and I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Right? You're good. Again, you're not in trouble. You did what you thought was right. Now you know this, right?
Right.
But I've been thinking about that fucking sentence about how much I think I'm in trouble for the stupidest shit.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in a car by myself and I accidentally miss my turn and I have to go back around the block, I feel like I'm in trouble.
Yes.
I feel like somebody is just like the whole block of people walking, driving, shopping in the places they can't even see the fucking street.
Yeah. Are I heard all about like, that. I heard
Adam's
about that.
Adam's a fucking dick. Oh my God.
I heard about that wrong totally turn last week.
That fucking turn. Like the fucking blimp goes over, right?
Yes.
Like I feel that in my bones.
Yeah.
But haven't even realized it until recently.
Wow.
Like there is
it's
so
that inner
much.
Anxiety that I feel like that is the core of where my people pleasing comes from. Because if I can placate everybody, if I can please everybody, then I'll never be in trouble and I'll never feel this feeling. Mm-hmm. And if I can do everything correctly and right and be on time and not be late and be, you know, the best employee you ever had or the best daughter, or if I can be the best this and even when I'm not feeling it, as long as you're happy, I'd rather be unhappy because I don't want to feel, because I don't want to be in trouble with you.
Yep.
Like that is where all of that stems from.
Yeah.
That horrible feeling. And then Mandy said to me one time, she was like, grown-ups don't get in trouble. Grown-ups have opportunities and they have consequences, or they have
sometimes they don't have consequences.
Don't even have consequences.
I think that's the biggest thing is in a lot of, sorry to cut.
No, you're totally right.
A lot of times
you just deal with
a lot of people and shit. I mean, I, you know, fucking 40 now, so I'm just basing it on this, but basing it on my sample size, but not a lot of people in my circle with these people excluded. Mm-hmm. I understand who I'm talking to are really that inward thinking and that critical and trying to actually like push the ball forward, myself included.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I've done some work and I quit drinking and shit, but like, you know, it's.
Don't negate yourself. You've done big work.
But like, a lot of people don't fucking kind of do a lot of this stuff and find it like kind of find hard truths about themselves.
Yeah.
So they literally kind of go through this cyclical nature of fucking misery. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, cool. Yeah. You do this every like year and a half because it's just, it's, you know,
yeah.
And when you don't have consequences, and you don't have someone putting you in trouble,
right.
You yeah. know, or that skill set to fucking put yourself in trouble.
Right.
Healthily.
Yeah. Exactly. Accountability. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a,
no, that was basically there,
yeah. There's a study I read recently that kind of piggybacks on this, and it's like there were two questions asked to 1,000 people. First question was, do you think you've changed in the last 10 years? Mm-hmm. 70% of people said yes, I've definitely changed.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Second question was, do you think you're going to change in the next 10 years, or do you think you found you? Mm-hmm. 70% of people said, no, I'm good, I found me. Mm. What the fuck is that? How can you identify that you've changed so much in 10 years, but think that you're not going to continue to change?
Well, also, yeah. that you also that's, think it's you're the best version of yourself. Right. That's yourself. The other yeah. part I remember
from
last
I hope
this time
isn't the best version of myself. Right. Totally. Like, yeah. And I am so glad I am not the person I was 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
I can see the change and the peace I've gained, but I still hold on to a lot of shit. So if this is the best it gets, my fucking God. You know what I mean? Like, and what, how unexciting of a life.
Yeah.
If you've reached the peak already, like,
yep.
There's nothing, I love nothing more than to have my aha moments. Those are so exciting for me now. And even when they're stressful or bad or whatever, like, I can look into a moment now and be like, oh, I can take away this from it. Or, oh, I've learned this from it. Oh, I can look at this differently now. Like this, I get this kind of like euphoric sense of like, oh, I get a different perspective on something. And that's exciting to me. So if those have all ended, well, and the same with like artists, like artists are always going to be growing and changing if they are good artists.
Right.
And like, or changing their vehicles or changing their, you know, Joni Mitchell was like, hey man, I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to fucking paint.
Did you look up
that? I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good, but you know what? We're all on a path and we're all changing and growing every fucking day.
Oh, I forgot. I just love it. Yeah, I did. It's not good.
It exists.
It's there.
But even Joni Mitchell is a growing, changing human being.
Fucking so good. God. I was just like, yeah, you're going to need to do a deep dive on that. And you did. And you're just like, the more you look. Like, we actually stopped because the more we fucking read, we're like, oh, this just gets worse.
I can't do it. I can't
just
do it.
Just gets worse.
There's a quote I heard recently. It's from a Black Thought song. But it kind of talks about this. Like, this isn't the pinnacle. And it's my best years of life behind are still ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we always look back and like, oh, those are the best years. It's like, those are still ahead of me. Right. I just have a long way to go.
The mentality youth is wasted on the young. I do kind of believe that to some extent.
Oh, I do.
You know, but, you know, back to the whole idea of like, you know, people, you know, expectations. And you were kind of mentioning kind of these confidential contracts and, you know, people not being held accountable and stuff. A lot of times, and I find this with having to remind, you know, closer friends in which I can kind of hold them accountable to some extent, but I'm just sitting there going, I don't know really what you're expecting differently about this person because this is what this person does.
Right.
Yeah. Like, both positively and negatively, right. But it's just like, yo, most of the time it's negatively, let's be honest, because it's not becoming your business if it's a fucking good thing. And it's right. like, oh, you know. Yeah. But it's just like, no, like, this is kind of who this person is, you know?
There is a really good Bell Hooks quote.
It's unfortunate that that's kind of the way, but it's just like, no, I mean, and I'd like to believe that everyone does do this kind of work and reflection, but again, not a lot of people do.
Well, and the thing is that I also don't want to be the person that is expecting the worst out of people.
See, that's,
so if they have
that's
tendency,
why I'm tentative about saying that kind of shit.
There's a tendency to have these people in your life, oh, they're always doing this.
They're gonna show up late or whatever.
Surprise, surprise, this happening again.
Yeah,
and that's not a great positive mindset to be in, but this Bell Hooks quote, I remember reading it, and it was, I think this was kind of the thing that kick-started my change in perspective of my intolerance for intolerance. It's Bell Hooks' quote. It says, how do we hold people accountable for wrongdoing and yet at the same time remain in touch with their humanity enough to believe that they believe in their capacity to be transformed? So while holding space of being like holding them accountable, but not having it define them into knowing that if I have the capacity for change, they also do. And if they find it or not is not my responsibility, but I'm always going to give them the chance, or in my brain at least, to surprise and delight.
So I don't bring up this kind of thought that often, but when people serve hard time mm-hmm. in jail for something that they did, you yeah. know, whatever it is. Obviously, there's we go on the extreme spectrum, and it's like, no, fuck those people. Go live in a cave.
Right.
Fucking supervised cave in which you're unsupervised in your cave.
Yeah.
You know, these people, men and women, come out of, you know, prison, and then they, you know, go and try to contribute to society, and they're usually branded as such.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Justifiably or not. But, you know, some of these people maybe are better than they were when mm-hmm. they went in or about. But, like, if you completely disregard the, and I don't agree with a lot of the prison system, like, you, like, then what are we actually doing? I mean, again, we are locking up too many people, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is some sort of, if you can't even redeem yourself by serving the time,
right.
which is kind of how we mainly view it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you, you know.
If you've, yeah.
Well, I think there's opportunities to look at that.
Does it, you know, does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Like, because, we're either going to punish them for the rest of their life, whether they're in jail or out of jail.
That's kind
of
my point,
so
yeah.
what's the fucking point
yeah.
of putting them in jail? Or and what you're saying about the prison system, a lot of people are locked up for no fucking reason at all.
That's true.
That like, are completely again, so there's a wide range of people that
I'm not trying to oversimplify totally, this shit, but absolutely. It's just like I understand that there are some people that didn't go get a fucking master's degree when they served their stretch for fucking stealing a car and running it into a fucking building. Yeah. Whatever. You
but,
know what I'm saying?
But if you're like, just locking them in a cave
yeah.
and doing nothing with them and then they get released, you've done nothing to help a community to rehabilitate somebody right. or to give them capacity to be better than they were.
For all we know, this
so they've learned
could,
nothing. Yeah. They're more angry now than ever.
I think
they've
most,
done, you know, a terrible thing, and we're just going to release them back to keep doing terrible things. Or
I think the tendency is to still kind of think that that person's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's now,
you know, like, and I think that's the bullet, the yeah. main, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. And there's, but I think it's interesting now because, you know, we have a society that's entrenched in the penal system, in the prison system. And then yeah. you have now places like Denmark and places in Europe that are not, that are doing away with jails, that are doing away
yeah,
with
yeah.
legality shit, right?
Yeah.
And by no means am I saying let's jump to that, but it's right. now we have established countries on a scale that have a GDP, right?
Yeah.
That we can look at because those are the qualifiers that this country or other, you know, established quote unquote countries look for. But we have now a country testing this,
yeah.
multiple countries testing this idea to see, hey, does that work? Does it not work? How do we still hold people accountable? Are we getting rehabilitation in some kind of way?
We know what we're doing now is not fucking working,
it's not
here.
Working at all,
so
yeah.
yeah.
The other podcast that I do, the Journey podcast, the episode I released most recently, I had a couple people on from Yoga Behind Bars.
Mm.
And one of them was an incarcerated person at that point in time. And then as this person was released and was back into the community, he became a Yoga Behind Bars board member.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris, who was on Yoga Behind Bars on the program. But to hear this beautiful program that on, you know, just saying Yoga Behind Bars, it makes my heart warm, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They're still very... the way they were trained, the way they talked about this is these people are animals. You do not make eye contact
right.
with them. You don't treat them as humans. You don't talk to them.
So,
and
yep.
it's like, well, you're deepening that divide.
Right.
Yeah,
you're
right?
not fixing
is,
anything.
Yes, exactly.
And like, why not take that opportunity, like the quote, to see their capacity for change.
Right.
And there are a range of people that make mistakes or are in situations, whether it's what's the nature or nurture.
Yep.
Some people have mental illness.
Right.
Some people were
yeah.
the product of the home they grew up in, the community that they grew up in, the situation that they just weren't even supposed to be there, but they got caught up at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like
yep.
there's a wide
well,
range of
I think
things
it's important to note probably also that we're only going to hear about the ones that got out and did more bad shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be like, well, that's what happens. Well, we got to look. It's like, well, we also probably don't hear about the guy who just got the job at the fucking Ace Hardware, met some chick, has a fucking kid, and is now living a fucking great life as an ex-felon.
Yeah.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, literally
yeah.
defined as such, rightfully so.
Right.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Were, and now you're not.
Yeah.
You know?
get but those opportunities.
Regardless of their actions, they deserve to be treated like human beings. Shit. Yeah. Well, and it just also says who you are as a person, how you view and treat people that you believe have done wrong. So you can either continue that negativity by deepening the divide, like you said, like right. treat them like animals, treat them like they're not human. They've done this bad thing. They don't deserve love. They don't deserve a second chance. They don't deserve this. That doesn't do anything to help you. If you just look at it in selfish terms, right. that's not a cool place for your head to live in, yeah. for to view other people like that. So even if you're just doing it for your own self-preservation to be like, hey man, no matter just that unconditional love that we can show to each other as human beings who are sharing a planet together, yeah. you know, like no one deserves to be living in those conditions in those fucking jails. Right. I don't care what you've done, and you can disagree with me. And there are some terrible things people have done, but I don't want to be the person punishing someone like that. Hey, I don't want that.
When we ran background checks at Hook, and I get that, but big company, blah, blah, yeah. not, you know, and there is problems with, you know, background checks and employment and shit. I know that's a slippery slope and whatnot. Yeah. I'm not here to open that debate. But I remember the pitch I was giving when I was like, we're going to run this. And, you know, a couple things that are non-starters are like any kind of assault. Theft is another one. But it's like, okay, so literally what else could there really be that we'd still hire someone? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're going to be honest, I don't think we did hire any, quote, felons when we were there. But, like, what doesn't meet those two criterias that is going to show up on somebody's fucking record?
Yeah. Like, what is the felon that didn't steal and
kick the shit out of somebody or use a weapon or something, like, you know?
Or drugs or whatever. Like, you can
drugs.
Use...
It would be drugs. Yeah. It would be drugs.
We actually had one work release person that I know of that I worked with, and it was at Jillian's, and he was a dishwasher. Real sweet man. He was older, maybe late 50s, early 60s. Came in, washed dishes, went home. He had to go to his halfway house. He had specific times to be out and all that stuff. But he's really sweet. Got to know him, you know. He actually he had some indigenous background of some sort, and he made this like beaded kind of like satchel thing for me.
Cool.
Very sweet guy, right? And so like we created a relationship, not just him and I, but with the staff. And like the way it worked was when he got off shift, we would call his PO, and then he had a specific amount of time he had to get back to the halfway house, and then he checked in, mm-hmm. right? And if he did, he would go back to jail. So he would get off at, say, 9, and we'd be like, hey, dude, you want to just play pool for a little bit? Mm-hmm. And so we'd play pool, and then he'd get off at, like, we'd call it, like, 10:30.
He's on his way.
He's like, cool, all right. Great, right?
Yeah. Had
a fantastic relationship with this guy. Out of nowhere... I don't know what happened. This self-preservation. Yeah. Something probably just happened. But I get called into the office, and I'm managing at the time. It's me and this, within the management team. I get called in the office, and my GM is like, hey, got something to talk about. And I'm like, okay. He goes, somebody said that they saw you selling drugs to one of the other managers. And I'm like, huh. And at that point in time, like, I quit smoking weed. Like, I...
Yeah. Like, yeah, at that, just, I like, just, it's like, just come the family.
My in trouble shit, trigger like, just got triggered. Hearing this story, I'd be like,
did I?
Yeah.
I honestly was like, what the fuck? And I was like, you know, thinking about it, I'm like, no, man, I haven't... No, I quit smoking weed. I quit all that shit. I drink, but that's it, you know? And it was my buddy Jeff.
Yeah.
So we have a relationship. And I'm like, what is this? And like, where is this coming from? He's like, it was a dishwasher. And I'm like... I can't remember his name, but I'm like, what is going on with that? And so, and I couldn't talk to him about it because it was confidential, you know? And so it basically, we just went back to being like by the books. Okay. Yeah. You get off work at 9. Here's your fucking, we're calling your PO. And he kind of looked and like, I kind of looked back at him, and I never really found out what happened or why he did.
But
what
you're
he
just
did.
Like,
but
cool,
like,
dog. No more.
Yeah.
No,
like, yeah. And yeah. And stuff like that might happen, and it's just, it's not like you treated him any unkindly.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't punish him.
Yeah,
you're just like, you set
no
your boundary.
Out there, yeah.
You've, okay, maybe I can't go this far. Okay, noted. And now we're just going to go back to you being an employee, and I'm going to check in with your PO and blah, blah, blah. And that's what it's going to be. But it wasn't an unkind
Exactly,
transition.
Yeah. And it wasn't like we were putting, like, dirty-ass, like, caked-on dishes back there. Be like, there
like,
you go.
Right.
Leave
yeah.
the caramel. Leave the caramel on. You guys made fresh caramel there, right?
Oh,
well, boy. I always think about that scene from Monster where Charlize Theron is trying to get right and is, you know, doesn't have access to any money, has to get a job, and is like going in for this interview she's unqualified for. She's got no work history. She's got no, you know, rental thing. Like she should not be in the room, but it's like, what must that feel like when people talk about, you know, being unhoused or, you know, a felon or whatever? Like every person you go to, they're either not going to hire you, they're not going to rent to you, they're not going to listen to you, they're not going to trust you. That would be so defeating for me. I'd be like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to keep doing this until I get caught again or whatever.
I'm branded as such. I'll show you this.
Yeah. So, you know, well, if this is what you think I am, then I'm going to be that thing.
Back when I was drinking, there was a lot of fucking shit I did with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... Yeah, it's not good.
There's a book I read a while ago about universal basic income, and they were talking about the welfare system. That's by Guy Standing, and he was talking about the welfare system. You know, it's the government and the states and the citizens will pat ourselves on the back because we have this assistance system that's there, but we make people like basically grovel for it.
Right.
Right. You have to, if you're on the welfare system in the United States, you basically have to go and prove how inept you are as a human being every time.
Yeah.
Every month you have to reprove that I can't take care of myself. I need government assistance. This is why I can't take care of myself. Mm-hmm. You're turning down raises because it doesn't give you enough to make up the difference.
But the raise isn't enough to get you out. Exactly. So you're going to keep yourself in poverty. So
you, vicious cycle, you know? But again, you got these politicians and bureaucrats patting themselves on the back saying, we took care of our people and we can blah, blah, blah.
Or that it's like, people say that people are living large off of welfare and food stamps. Right. Do you know, as someone who has been on food stamps before, who has had to do government insurance, same thing happened. I go, I can either take this $500 extra job, which will put me over for the month, but that $500 is not as much as the benefits I would be getting if I deny it, and I can still get these things, and I can
government.
So I'm going to deny myself more money, and it's just thinking about, well, if I get this job, that's going to be too much to get me out of it, but it's not so much that I'm going to have to get insurance again, so I'll be back to zero, and it's. Yep. No one's living large off of, do you know how hard it is to take advantage of the system? They are on your ass. You have to apply. You have to go and talk to somebody every month. You have to email your tax records. Like, it is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
I never was able to, during COVID, I got the fucking cheese. Yeah. You know, some people had some fucking tough time getting it. Yeah. I didn't. But like when I got fucking laid off, I went and applied for jobs I didn't fucking want, but like I never got one fucking check. Went to interviews, put on fucking suits and shit, like, you know, checking boxes. So if they ever fucking did it,
right.
You know, didn't get one fucking dime.
Right.
You know, all I wanted was like a month.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's like,
God damn it.
Oh man! All right. Well, being nice.
It's gonna be. Yeah, I was gonna be a GM at a counter service burger place in South Lake Union.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I applied at a candle making factory.
Oh shit! You like that?
Yeah, I felt like I would like it, but then, it was just part of I think the pay wasn't enough and the hours were kind of crazy. But like I was like, yeah, I could dip. Because it reminded me of when we used to dip the Maker's Mark bottle or the beer bottles. And I was like, yeah, I could fucking do that.
God, I literally...
Black. Yeah, yeah.
I bring it up at every podcast. Just the greatest job you ever had.
Every time.
Worked next to three people for fucking 2 weeks. Couldn't pick them out of a fucking lineup the next day.
Couldn't tell
you
their name. Nope. Couldn't tell you their name.
Oh, love
so
that.
So good.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that then.
Be kind to yourselves, and kindness will just happen after that.
There you go. Love that. See you.